Tonight we continue our look at the first letter of John. We will be reading from 1 John 3:11 through chapter 4:21, and it is on page 240 of the New Testament in our Bibles. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know this. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. Little children, you are from God, and you have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, For fear has to do with punishment, when whoever fears has not received perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, friends of Jesus Christ, if I could get away with it tonight, our sermon would be three words: love one another. But I suppose I can't get away with it. Tonight, we come to the very heart of John's gospel, John's message: love. And on the day we remember the events of 9/11, to hear John's message of love seems very fitting. For 3 weeks, we've seen John give us marks that identify the difference between those who walk in the light and those who walk in the darkness. Tonight, we come to the biggest difference, the thing that really defines the difference: love. Those who walk in the light love one another. Those who walk in the darkness envy, fear, and hate one another. We all remember 10 years ago today where we were. And 10 years ago today, I was in a class studying cell biology, I believe. Very exciting stuff. And class ended, and I got in my car to come up to church to eat some breakfast, because it was an early class. And I heard on the radio something about planes crashing into towers. And when I got to church, everyone was gathered around the TV, transfixed on the screen. I had obviously arrived after the planes had crashed, but right before the buildings would collapse upon themselves. But the thing I remember most, the thing that sticks in my head, the thing that rings in my ears, is Dan Hutt, our former youth minister. Dan just kept saying, how could they do this? How could they do this? Dan was in complete shock. But I was more surprised by Dan's reaction. I was more surprised by his reaction than I was by the actual events, that a group of people could do such a horrible thing. This is probably because of where I grew up. When I was real young, I realized that people could walk in very dark ways. I had seen and heard people shot and killed over little bags of cocaine and other drugs. I had even seen someone try to kill another person for a coat. I had seen people hate others for the color of their skin, for not sharing the same heritage, or the same culture, or the same religion. So when 9/11 happened, I didn't share Dan's shock. I wasn't surprised by what envy, fear, and hate could lead to. And I wasn't surprised that the United States reacted out of similar fear and hate. But John's message for us tonight is clear. This isn't how it's supposed to be. We are called to love. The world may act out of envy, fear, and hate, but Christians, God's children, should act out of love. John is adamant. I mentioned previously the story from the early church father Jerome about how John, in his old age, when carried to the front of the church, would just say to the congregation, "Love one another." Jerome tells this story to emphasize the point that love is central to the gospel. Without love, the gospel is a nice story. It's love that makes the gospel real. And as adamant as John is about our need to love one another, he's equally confident that in spite of our sinfulness, we're able to truly love one another. And he gives a number of reasons why. The first reason we can love one another comes right at the start of our passage in 3:11. Christians love one another because it was God's command from the beginning. When John says "from the beginning," it can mean a number of things. From the beginning of John's proclamation, or the day of Pentecost, or the days of Jesus' ministry, or from Moses and Abraham. But it can also mean from the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. When God created humanity, he created them to love the creation, to love one another, to love God, and to abide in God's love. To love God and to love one another are the great commandments, because when you keep every other commandment, you are keeping those commandments. When you keep all the commandments, you are loving God and loving one another. When we keep the commandments, we're not doing something against our true nature. We're doing something against our fallenness. We're in fact living according to our true nature when we love one another. We were created to love. And though we have fallen, it will be our final nature. Because as John points out, we've been reborn into Christ as children of God. Being reborn is John's second reason for his confidence that we can love one another. In 4:7, John alludes to the story of Nicodemus, of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus from his gospel. He says in that story that, Jesus says in that story that we have been reborn from above and have become God's children. John's point is that as God's children, we love because love is God's gift to his children. Christians love because they have been reborn in Christ through the Spirit. We have taken on the spiritual DNA of God. We love because God is love. Third, John says, in 4:19, that Christians love in response to God's love. We love because God first loved us. And John says, we know God has loved us, and we know that God is love, and we know we've received God's love because he has sent his only Son. We see this in 3:16, and we see it in 4:9 and 10, which reads, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. But our problem is that we are fallen. Even if we wanted to love one another according to our true nature, we're not able to. Because we're fallen, We can't make ourselves God's children. Because we are fallen, we cannot know Jesus on our own and cannot respond to God's love in Christ on our own. So God himself must act upon us in order to allow us to love as he loves. And we learn that he does so in 3:24 and 4:12 through 13 by living in us. We can love as God loves because God lives in us through his Spirit. 3:24 is the very first mention of the Holy Spirit in this letter. This is very curious. For the Holy Spirit is everywhere in John's Gospel. But John hasn't mentioned the Spirit until now because his opponents, the early Gnostics, were claiming the Spirit as their source of becoming many Christs, as their source of new revelations, as the reason why they could save themselves. And so when rebuking his opponents, John focuses on Jesus as our Savior, as the way to the Father, and avoids speaking about the Holy Spirit. He didn't want to get into a, I have the Spirit more than you have the Spirit kind of argument. But here John's focus in our letter turns to his people. It turns to the faithful, to those who have remained loyal to Jesus, loyal to the church, loyal to the truth. And now he has no choice but to talk about the Spirit. For you can't talk about Christian love without talking about the Holy Spirit. The real difference between worldly love and Christian love is the Spirit. The Spirit is the overflowing of God's love. We can see God's love in Jesus, but we experience God's love in Jesus through the Spirit. And we are confident that we've received the Spirit of God when we're convicted that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh. We know the Spirit abides with us when we love one another, because it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to love as God loves. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to love God, enables us to love our brothers and sisters, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies, as Jesus says in Matthew. So the Holy Spirit enables Christians to love as God does. But what does that love look like? How is it different than the love found in the world? John gives us a number of ways. First, Christians don't envy. He makes this point in the story about Cain. The story of Cain and Abel shows up in all kinds of writings, in all kinds of Jewish and Christian writings in the first century. It was considered the archetypal story about envy. Cain was envious of Abel because Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to God. Abel's sacrifices were pleasing to God, and Cain didn't realize this, because Abel wanted to please God. Abel wanted to do what was right by God. He didn't worry about himself. He loved God for God, not for the blessings he received. Cain, however, wanted the blessings. And so instead of giving his choice animals to God, he gave the weak and the ill, the ones that were of no use to himself. the ones he couldn't make a profit off of. Yet he still wanted the blessings. So he killed his brother to take his brother's blessings. Cain wanted the blessings without having to make any real sacrifice for them. In our letter, Cain represents the world. And as John says, the world, like Cain, will hate Christians. They hate Christians because they are envious of our blessings. And they too don't want to make the necessary sacrifices required to receive those blessings. But Christian love isn't envious. Like Abel's love for God, Christian love isn't focused on ourselves. It is focused on the other. Christian love is self-sacrificial. On this day, it makes me think of those brave men and women who ran into the towers, not focused on gaining glory, not focused on gaining fame for themselves, or with hate towards the terrorists in their hearts, but solely for the purpose of saving other people's lives, even though they knew that they themselves would more than likely die running into those flames. And as John says, there is no greater love. No greater love than to lay one's life down for another. John would say that these brave men and women and all those who daily put their lives on the line for others are an echo of God's love. An echo of God's love for the world in Christ. That their self-sacrifice is a sign of Christ's victory breaking through into the world. Of Christ's love overcoming the spirit of the Antichrist through the power of the Holy Spirit. But even laying down one's own life isn't the sum of Christian love. John adds that Christian love doesn't simply give up one's life, one's physical life. Rather, Christian love sacrifices everything for others. He writes in 3:17, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help?" Christian love doesn't just give its 10% to God and His church. It gives it all up. Christian love gives 100% of oneself to God, to His church, to our neighbors, and to our enemies. Christian love doesn't worry about tomorrow, what we will eat, or what we will drink, or what we will wear. Christian love trusts God to provide all that we need, because Christian love has no fear. Fear is being afraid to lose something. It is the fear of being afraid of losing power, which leads to abuse or rape or murder or racism. The fear of shame leads to bullying and revenge. Fear leads to making war on whole nations when justice demands that only a few should be brought to trial. Fear leads to comments like, "If you are not with us, then you are against us." Fear is the hate for another in order to try to protect oneself. But Christian love unlike worldly love, isn't mixed with hate because it does not fear. It does not fear because it has given everything, all of ourselves, to God. It has nothing to lose. Worldly love, however, says, I'll help you out as long as it doesn't cost me too much. Worldly love is concerned with the self. It says, I can't give anymore, or I can't keep my lifestyle. If I give too much away, I can't buy that car, or that big house, or that go on that vacation, or retire the way I want to. Worldly love only gives within reason. But Christian love is completely unreasonable. And what else would we expect? Our love comes from God, and God's love is completely unreasonable. God's love has God the Son becoming flesh, and the world laughs. God's love has God suffering and dying. That's completely ridiculous. God says, you are forgiven if you just turn yourself to me and ask. God's love says that we can abide in God because God has given us his Holy Spirit. God's love says in the book of Revelation, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. God's love says, I will wipe every tear from your eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning, crying, and pain will be no more. God's love says, it is finished. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give free water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious, those who remain faithful, will inherit all these things. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Children of God, let us love one another. For when we love one another, when we let go of our hate and our fear of shame, we become like God. We become what we were created for. We foreshadow what we will be in the future. And for the sake of the gospel, when we love one another, we image the Father's love to the world, just as Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, imaged the Father's love to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.